If you're listening to this podcast, you must recognize the value of asking questions. At Aramco, our questions help us engineer a better future. How can today's resources fuel our shared tomorrow? How can we deliver energy to a world that can't stop? How can we deliver one of the fuels of the future? How can we sow curiosity to harvest ingenuity? To learn more about how innovation drives us forward, visit aramco.com/poweredbyhow.
This is your tech news briefing for Monday, November 28th. I'm Zoe Thomas for The Wall Street Journal. Amid the crypto market's recent meltdown, there's been no shortage of critics ready to talk about the sector's shortcomings. But actor Ben McKenzie, well, he's been expressing skepticism about digital currencies and especially celebrity endorsements of crypto for the last couple years. So what made McKenzie a crypto skeptic? And how is he using his celebrity to spread his message? He discussed that and more at this year's WSJ Tech Live conference. We'll have highlights from his appearance after these headlines. Elon Musk says Twitter will be launching its new verified service this week. He says the company will be manually authenticating accounts and using a new color system for ones that have been verified. Companies will get gold check marks, government accounts will get gray checks. All individuals, celebrity or not, will stay with blue checks. Musk has been trying to revamp Twitter's verification system since he took over the company last month. He's said he wants every user to be verified unless they're a bot account. Twitter didn't respond to a request for comment. Meanwhile, the waves of employee departures at Twitter have left the company with fewer staff working on policy and safety issues, including employees responsible for drafting content moderation rules. That's sparking questions from global regulators about Twitter's compliance efforts, particularly in Europe. Ireland's Data Protection Commission said last week it was asking Twitter whether it had sufficient staff to comply with the European Union's privacy law. A spokesman for the regulator said Twitter said it did, but it was still reviewing the impact of staff departures. And in France, the communications regulator said it sent a letter asking if Twitter had sufficient personnel to moderate hate speech that's illegal under French law. Twitter could face legal action and fines if it fails to do so. Staying on Musk's companies, Tesla is recalling about 80,000 cars in China, according to the country's market regulator. The recall involves Model S and Model X vehicles with software problems that may lead to battery malfunctions, and Model 3 cars with seatbelt issues. The regulator says Tesla will run over-the-air updates for vehicles with software issues. Tesla didn't respond to a request for comment. And telehealth companies are pushing to extend the pandemic-era rules that let them prescribe controlled substances, such as opioids, remotely. Restrictions are set to go back into place once the Biden administration lifts its COVID-19 public health emergency, which is expected this spring. More than 100 health groups and companies are lobbying the Drug Enforcement Administration on the issue, including startups that have faced scrutiny from lawmakers and pharmacies over their prescription practices. They want the agency to create a registry of providers that would be allowed to prescribe drugs online for conditions including opioid addiction. The DEA has in fact submitted a potential regulation that would create such a registry. Our reporter Liz Essley-White has more on what extended permission could mean for the companies.
Especially for controlled substances telehealth, it would allow some of these companies that sprang up in the pandemic to just continue doing business the way they've been doing it. We talked to one, for example, healthcare company that provides testosterone, which is a controlled substance, to transgender patients online, and they would have to rethink how they're reaching those patients completely. But if this rule gets extended, then they will be allowed to keep growing the way they have.
To hear more from Liz, check out this morning's episode of our sister podcast, What's News? All right, coming up, plenty of celebrities have used their fame to promote crypto. We'll hear from one actor who's using his star power to criticize it. That's after the break.
If you're listening to this podcast, you must recognize the value of asking questions. At Aramco, our questions help us engineer a better future. How can today's resources fuel our shared tomorrow? How can we deliver energy to a world that can't stop? How can we deliver one of the fuels of the future? How can we sow curiosity to harvest ingenuity? To learn more about how innovation drives us forward, visit aramco.com/poweredbyhow.
Ben McKenzie is an actor best known for his roles in the TV shows The OC and Gotham. But lately he's added another title to his resume, outspoken crypto-skeptic. At the Wall Street Journal's Tech Live event last month, McKenzie, who has a degree in economics, discussed his feelings about digital currencies and the book he's writing about it with WSJ reporter Eric Schwartzel. When they spoke, the crypto exchange FTX hadn't yet been hit by its liquidity crisis or filed for bankruptcy. But other crypto firms had collapsed, and many digital currencies' values had fallen significantly from their highs. Here are highlights from their conversation.
Ben McKenzie, thanks for joining us at Tech Live.
My pleasure.
You're here today to talk about cryptocurrency. How did that happen?
I just became fascinated by sort of, you know, money, we made it up. It doesn't exist, right? It's a social construct, just like government, religion. It relies on a critical mass for it to have value. And so all these people were ascribing value to this thing, which to me, I was deeply suspicious of. And it's led me down an investigative rabbit hole.
But there's a difference between being suspicious of crypto and speaking out and leveraging celebrity to raise awareness. Why did you decide to make that leap? I mean, I think it probably would start in the fall of 2021 when you published a piece in Slate. I mean, you didn't really hold back. You called it no. Celebrity crypto shilling is a moral disaster. And it was inspired by a number of other celebrities who were taking the opposite approach and signing endorsement deals to promote cryptocurrencies. Why decide to not just sort of tell your friend that he was an idiot for investing in Bitcoin, but instead become, you know, the TV star who's speaking out against crypto?
Well, Robert Shiller, the Nobel Prize winning economist, has talked about how economic narratives spread. First of all, their reaction to real things. So in the case of cryptocurrency, I would say the genesis is the subprime crisis. This peer-to-peer currency that would avoid all intermediaries and would democratize, decentralize the financial structure, which had so failed so mm-hmm. many Americans. So it seemed to come from real need, and I was fascinated by that. At the same time, the more I studied it, the more I actually looked at the bones of it, it wasn't doing the things that it said it was doing. It was highly centralized. Crypto had basically, seemingly to me anyway, created an entire parallel financial structure parallel to the regulated one that was completely unregulated or more or less unregulated. So the propensity for fraud was enormous. Mm-hmm. And I worried that this economic narrative would spread as it already had done, like wildfire. I felt like things were going to go poorly. I felt like a lot of people are going to lose their money.
And the book you're working on now is called Easy Money.
Right.
Why easy? Define easy in that context for me.
So it has multiple meanings. It's about the creation of this money that isn't money. Mm-hmm. It's also about how all of this started, which I would say is the subprime crisis and our failure to address, you know, sort of deeper systemic issues with our deeply flawed financial system, which has created massive levels of mistrust, deservedly so, perhaps. And so people are, well, they're investing in crypto for all sorts of reasons. If you look at the polling, they're investing in it because it's a new way of investing and it's easy. Those are the first two answers. It's not because they understand blockchain technology or believe in it or even use it as a currency, because of course most people, almost no one uses it.
There's not like a philosophical underpinning driving most of these decisions, you'd say.
For the majority.
Well, let me ask you something. So if you were building a character based on what you're seeing is driving a lot of these folks into crypto, what would that character's motivations be? What do you think? It sounds like you're describing almost like a need being fulfilled.
Oh, for sure, yeah.
And I'm trying to get at maybe this, what you would see as the psychological or even sociological reasons for that.
Well, they vary widely. I mean, incredibly widely. So it's difficult, and I don't want to stereotype. But if you look at the polling, you know, 42% of men 18 to 29 have purchased, used, bought cryptocurrency at some point in their lives. That's a large number. Mm-hmm. That's almost half. That's a big number. So it is younger. It is male. But you have people of all walks of life, and it is interesting. I mean, it's there are not a lot of distinctions between socioeconomic classes in terms of participation. Mm-hmm. People with a lot of money, people with middle money, people with not a lot of money have all used it. There are differences in gender. It's about 2.5 to 1, male to female. And there are differences in race. Minority groups are more likely to invest in cryptocurrency.
So how old were you when the OC premiered?
23.
Like 24, so you were once a young guy.
I was.
Coming into money pretty quickly.
Yes.
Looking at a future with potential earnings, you know, that you would not imagine before. Do you think back on that time? Do you see commonalities when you're talking
yes.
to folks who you're describing as sort of pursuing this easy money?
Yeah, that's a great question. Young men, sociologically, they are very risk on. They make a lot of decisions mm-hmm. that perhaps they shouldn't. And on the flip side, they also take risks that sometimes pay off wildly. I'm just skeptical as I look at as I get into the gears, so to speak, that they're really improving things. What I see is that most people lose money, and for very obvious reasons. The technology doesn't work particularly well. The markets are more or less unregulated. There's massive information asymmetries. You know, you're effectively sitting down at a poker table across from... Sorry, maybe this dates me, but across from Phil Hellmuth, one of the greatest poker players ever lived, you know, and you're not even aware of it. And this guy is, you know, he's running you ragged. Could you win a hand? Sure, you could win a hand. But over the long run, you sit there long enough, you're going to lose.
Do you think that the crypto winter, whatever you want to call it, the volatility we're in right now, do you see this as confirming what you had identified as issues with the system, or do you think this is just volatility that's representative of the currency? Like, what do you think is...
You mean the fact that $2 trillion more or less disappeared overnight? Do I right. feel like that's a validation of the fact
well, not,
that I
not,
thought
not,
it was a massive scam? Yes, yes, I do think
it's
that it's a validation
yeah,
of a... Yeah.
yeah,
I mean, maybe that's
good
self-serving,
your,
but, you
good
know...
Good timing
yeah.
for your book.
Yeah, good timing.
Yeah. I think...
So
yeah.
could crypto come back, I guess, is somewhat...
Yeah.
You're right. Sure. I mean, anything could happen, right? It could start snowing tomorrow in Laguna. The thesis of the book, or one of the primary theses of the book, is that the easy money that we have injected into the system has created all sorts of... I mean, it's a massive speculative bubble, right? And the things that pop the first are the things that are the most speculative. Of course it is. What else is it? What does it do? Right? I went to the only country in the world that's trying to use it as currency, El Salvador.
Mm-hmm.
No one's using it. Because it doesn't work. Because it's not a currency. I don't think it's coming back anytime soon unless it provides some sort of use case, unless we have something that it does better than other things that also have flaws. You know, what has it improved? I don't see it happening in the near term. Could blockchain have uses in other... Sure. I don't know. I don't have anything against blockchain.
Mm.
It's a distributed ledger. I'm not mad at a distributed ledger. I'm mad at a massive amount of what I think is, you know, a massive speculative bubble and what I think is fraud, most likely, underneath it. So could, you know, blockchain, public key encryption, this kind of stuff have value in the future monetarily? Sure. Yeah, of course. I have no problem with that. But when? How? Mm. I don't think that's anytime soon.
Ben, thank you for being here today.
Yeah, my pleasure.
Thanks, everyone.
All right, that's it for today's tech news briefing. If you want more tech stories, check out our website, wsj.com. And if you like our show, please rate and review it. You can do that wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Zoe Thomas for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.
I'm Paul Jugot, and you can join me, Kim Strassel, Kyle Peterson, and our colleagues on the Potomac Watch podcast each Monday through Friday. And don't forget to hit that subscribe button on your favorite podcast app.